Good evening. Welcome to Pound Talking Drums podcast. Where W.J. Armstrong is the founder and CEO, and I am your host tonight. For faith comes from hearing the word of God. I am your host, Renee. And tonight, again, I say welcome. I pray everyone had a safe and beautiful, wonderful weekend. And we do thank God for bringing us this beautiful day that he has made. And before I go on, I'm going to just go into prayer before I start. Father God, in the name of Jesus, I call you Elohim because you are our creator, O God. More and more and more as I study the word, O God, I see your hand in everything, God. In everything we do and everything we say, oh God, everything that is visible and invisible to us, oh God, I see your handiwork in it, your work displayed all over throughout the universe, God. I thank you, God, for this day that you have made. I rejoice and be glad in it, O God. I thank you, O God, because you are not only our creator, but you are El Shaddai, all-powerful God. You have all power in your hand, O God. And so tonight, O God, as I bring forth the word, O God, I ask that you remove me from self, O God. Let it be your words, O God, that come out. Your story, O God, that is brought before your people, O God, that they may see you and come to know you, O God, and see you for the awesome God that you are. This I ask in the precious name of Jesus, Yeshua, the Messiah, Jesus Christ. Amen and amen and amen. And so tonight I have a discussion that's going to take quite some time. And so most likely I'm sure it will be in either a two-part or a three-part series. The first, I want to give you, I guess, the topic. And the topic is that we come to know and recognize who Satan is. And so I'm going to start by explaining that it is important that we know and recognize who Satan is. He is at work. He is busy. And many people feel uncomfortable about talking about this. It's a subject that is briefly mentioned on the pulpit. us. Many people are frightened by it. But it is a discussion that needs to be talked about because we need to know why there is so much corruption and so much unrighteousness and sin in the world. And so I'm going to start off by saying, giving you a scripture, and I'm going to give you a scripture from 1 Peter 5:8, and I'm going to take my time with this as it needs to be discussed thoroughly. And 1 Peter 5:8 reads from the New King James Version, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour." Seeking whom he may devour, he may use, he may attack. And so I want to say to all of us that whether you be a Christian, Hebrew, Muslim, Buddhist, a believer in a higher power, or atheist, we cannot overlook the existence of the devil. For so many years, many of us grew up, I know I did, with the concept that the devil was a little man dressed in red with horns on the sides of his head and a long pitchfork in his hand. Even if we look today at our emojis that we do display as emotions on our keyboards or our smartphones that we use, even those have gone and given Satan, the devil, a new color. The color they've given is purple. He, in other words, he stands out everywhere. He's involved in everything. While these different pictures or concepts used to identify the devil may appear flattering to the devil, they do very little to define his character or prove his existence. And that is sad. That's sad. It's sad. Why? Because these are those who choose to dismiss. Many of us choose to dismiss the devil as though he is an inadequate object. The devil isn't an object. He is, however, inadequate. I say this because the devil has no power zilch over God, and therefore he is rendered powerless over God's kingdom and God's people. And I'm going to tell you why in a little while, a little later, maybe not this session, but maybe in the next session. He is rendered powerless because I am reminded in Matthew 4:1-11, it says, then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And when he has fasted 40 days and 40 nights, afterwards he was hungry. Now when the tempter came to him, it says, he said, if you are the Son of God, this is the tempter, the devil, talking to the Son of God, Jesus himself, command these, that these stones become bread. You see, the devil really knows how to go after people. He will attack you at your lowest or your most vulnerable state. But he said, Jesus answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. It says, then the devil took him up into the holy city and set him on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down. For it is written, he shall give his angels charge over you. He will protect you, in other words. And in their hands they shall bear you up. And so, lest you dash your foot against a stone, Jesus said to him, it is written again, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. Again, the devil took him up on an exceedingly high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, all these things I will give to you if you will fall down and worship me. Jesus said to him, away with you, Satan. For it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you shall serve. Then the devil left him, and behold, the angels came and ministered to him. Then Jesus said also, he says, now I read that. Now let me just stop. I read that to tell you, if Satan had the power and the authority that we tend to give him over us, the kingdoms would be his. The world and everything would be his. But the mere fact that he's talking to the Son of God, Jesus, Yeshua, and telling him that he will give him all these things if he would, the kingdom, if he would just bow down and worship him. This lets me know that he does not own the kingdoms. He has no power over the kingdom. All the devil wants is to attack those who oppose him, attack those actually who believe God and who do his will. An enemy of God, that's all he wants to make us, is enemies of God. So then, also, he says, Jesus says in Matthew 28:18, he says, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth, which brings me to this point. Satan has no power. He has no power. He's trying to offer, again, he's trying to offer to Jesus what's already his. He's trying to offer to Jesus what's already his. And so I'm going to read another scripture. It is quite long, but I think it is important to be read. Satan desires to be like God. He wants to be worshipped like God. In fact, he wants to be God. I believe he wants to be God. And so in the scripture, Isaiah, the prophet Isaiah, describes Satan's position before the revolt, before he revolted against God and was kicked out of the heavens. And so it reads as such. It says, how you are fallen from heaven. And this is Isaiah 14:12-15. How you are fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning. How you are cut down to the ground, you who weaken the nations. For you have said in your heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will also sit on the mount of the congregation on the farthest side of the north. I will ascend. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet you shall be brought down to Sheol, to hell, to the lowest depths of the pit. So we see here that Satan wasn't always referred to as Satan. In fact, in the very beginning, Satan was referred to as Lucifer. And this is one of the reasons why I want to discuss this series and take my time with it, because some of the names that Lucifer has been given they describe Lucifer's character. They describe Lucifer's character, and that I will get into much later on in the series, possibly next week. So then we know again, Satan wants to be worshipped. He wants to be glory. He wants us to give him the glory. He wants us to take the glory from God, give it to him. But God says in his word, he says, I will not share my glory with another. Satan wants God's kingdom. He wants to occupy God's throne. Which brings me to another point. There are three heavens. I'm going to say that again. There are three heavens. The Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians 12:2, he says this. He says, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and I was in the third heaven. Now, logic says if there is a third heaven, there's a heaven 1 and 2. There's the 1 and 2. So therefore I conclude there are three heavens. The first heaven is the heaven, it is the heaven which we see with our natural eyes. King David, the psalmist, he wrote in Psalms 147:4, I believe, the heavens declare the glory of God. The heavens declare the glory of God, and it talks about his handiwork. And this is what the Bible refers to as the firmament, where the stars, the sun, the moon, the signs letting us know of different seasons changing in regards to weather and climate. Say this again. No, the first heaven, according to the Bible, does not include zodiac signs. It does not include zodiac signs, as this is said of some astrologers. In fact, astrology is just the interpretation of an assumed influence, as in zodiac signs being connected to the month you and I were born in. For example, Aquarius, Pisces, Aries, Taurus, Gemini, Cancer, Leo, Virgo, Scorpio, and so on and so on. I've forgotten all of them. But anyway, it has nothing to do with the zodiac signs. The zodiac signs are deemed by man to impact on our destiny. But Jeremiah 29 lets us know who is in charge of our destiny. So no, the zodiac signs do not predestine the future or tell us about the future. No. Only God knows what's in our future. Only God has plans for our future and our destiny. In fact, this part of astrology is false, according to the scripture recorded by the prophet Daniel. In Daniel 1 and 20, Daniel says, the royal astrologers of the Babylonian court were put to shame by God, and they were deemed powerless to interpret the king's dream. That's Daniel 27, 20, and then Daniel 2, 27. You can look them up at Trilegia and read them. So all of you who rush out every day, or not rush out every day, when I was coming up, you rushed out and got the newspaper, and you opened the newspaper immediately to your zodiac sign, and you said, well, this is what's going to happen to me on this day. Now you got your smartphone. So all you have to do is press it and go to your zodiac sign, and I'm telling you, don't waste your time. Okay, so now again, I want to talk to you about the second heaven. The second heaven. And hear me, please, good, because I strongly believe that because of where this heaven is positioned, this is just my thoughts, and I have to pray about this. Where it's positioned, you got the first heaven, and you got the second heaven, and the third heaven where God is. So many times, we pray, and it seems like we just don't get a breakthrough. Well, we lose our concentration. Sometimes we pray, we sleep, we go on to sleep, or we get distracted. And I believe strongly because of this scripture that I'm about to read, and because of where heaven is, where the second heaven is positioned, this is why. And like I said, anyone who disagrees can disagree. The important thing is that when we disagree, we do it respectfully. And so the scripture I'm going to read is from Daniel, the book of Daniel, Daniel 10. And let me get to that scripture. And again, I'm taking my time. But the book of Daniel says, in the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, a message was revealed to Daniel, whose name was called Belshazzar. The message was true, but the appointed time was long, and he understood the message and had an understanding of the vision. In those days, I, Daniel, was mourning 3 full weeks. I ate no pleasant food, no meat or wine came into my mouth, nor did I anoint myself at all till 3 whole weeks were fulfilled. And we know, those who read the scripture and believe in the Word of God, we take that as we call it the Daniel fast, the Daniel fast. And so verse 4 goes on to say, now on the 24th day of the month, as I was by the side of the great river, that is the Tigris, I lifted up my eyes and looked, and behold, a certain man clothed in linen, whose waist was girded with gold ephah. His body was like beryl. His face was like the appearance of lightning. His eyes like torches of fire. His arms and feet like burnished bronze in color. I'm reading from the New King James Version. I'm sorry. And the sound of words like the voice of a multitude. It was like, it sounded as though many people, this is the vision that Daniel is seeing. It says, and I, Daniel, alone saw the vision, for the men who were with me did not see the vision, but a great terror fell upon them, so that they fled to hide themselves. Therefore, I was left alone. And when I saw the great vision, and no strength remained in me, for my vigor was turned to frailty. I hope I'm reading the right scripture. In me, and I retained no strength, yet I heard the sound of his words. And while I heard the sound of his words, I was in a deep sleep on my face with my face to the ground. Yes. Suddenly a hand touched me, which made me tremble on my knees and on the palms of my hands. And he said to me, oh, Daniel, man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak to you, and the stand up and stand upright, for I have now been sent to you. While he was speaking this word to me, I stood trembling. And then it goes on to say, then he said to me, do not fear, Daniel, for from the first day that you set your heart to understand and to humble yourself before your God, your words were heard, and I have come I have come because of your words. But here it goes. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days. I mean, it took 21 days for him to actually get this word. And it says, behold, Michael, one of the chief princesses, came to help me. Michael is described as the archangel. That is one of the archangels. We have Michael, who is the warrior. And then we have the archangel Gabriel, who is the communicator, the announcer. So when you call on Michael, you call it on a warrior. When you call on, when you hear about Gabriel, you are getting ready to get an announcement from God, then I'll go on, though. Then I'll tell you about the other third archangel. And so, where was I? But the prince of the king of Persia withstood me 21 days, and behold, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, for I had been left alone there with the king of Persia. Now I have come to make you understand what will happen to your people in the latter days, for the vision refers to many days to come. And this is also, I really didn't want to read this whole thing, but I have to read on. When he said he spoke such words to me, I turned my face toward the ground and became speechless. And suddenly one having the likeness of the Son of Man touched my lips. Then I opened my mouth and spoke, saying to him who stood before me, my Lord, because of the vision, my sorrows have overwhelmed me, and I have retained no strength. For how can this servant of my Lord talk to you? My Lord, as for me, no strength remains in me, nor is any breath left in me. This man had really just been in prayer, and he fasted. And so I'm going to go to the part that says, I'm going to go to 20. It says, then he said, do you know why I have come to you? And now I must return to fight with the prince of Persia. And when I have gone forth, indeed the prince of Greece will come. This man, this vision gives you a vision of how he had to go 28 days before he can get the message to Daniel. And then after all of that discussion, he's got to fight back through the same scenario that he came through. When we read this scripture, it is giving us a metaphor of the devil, the throne, the kingdom, or should I say, where the devil is and where he is temporarily ruling, and As I explained, there are three heavens. The first heaven, where we look and we can see the stars, the moon, the sun, the clouds, and above there is where Satan sort of lies. And above that heaven is where God is enthroned. Now we know God is the ruler and the creator of the whole universe. And we also have to know that before the creation, and this is where sometimes it becomes tricky for some, because some take so much time, they spend so much time trying to understand God and trying to figure out God and trying to understand God's ways, but the scripture tells us his ways are higher than our ways. His understanding is not our understanding. Some things we just need to leave alone, and there are some who say, before the beginning in Genesis, before creation, God did, the Bible makes reference to the Satan being cast out of the heavens. He's revolted against God, and he's cast out, and when he falls, he swoops a third of the angels with him. That is described in, as we read, I believe, in Ezekiel or Isaiah, where he's talking about the prince of Persia, who also is the personification, if I may say, of Satan, the king of Tyre. And so, but then, as I get back to this, there are some who just want to know it all, who they just want to be more knowledgeable than God. And so they say, during the time that God was creating the earth, there was an explosion, a catastrophic explosion, shaking the earth and causing Satan to fall, But God has his own way, his own timing, the way he does things. He does not make a mistake. We read all through the scripture. God does not make a mistake. What he says and what he intends to do and how he does it is just the way it's going to be done. Sometimes we just need to leave things alone and take it the way the Spirit gives it to us. And so I am going to, at this moment, I am going to stop because I want to next week go into, I want to go into Satan's character before, you know, after he, when he was kicked out of heaven. And I did mention two archangels, but the third archangel, ironically, was Satan. He was not Satan then. He was Lucifer. Had everything going for him. He was over music. And it's just like any other nation. You've got to have someone to keep things in order. You've got to have communication going on. And you got to have the media. You got to have where it gets out to the people. Being the Satan was in charge of the communication as far as getting things publicly broadcasted, or maybe I shouldn't go into that. What I should just say is he was in charge of the music. You know, this world, music is be a beautiful thing if displayed correctly. And so I'm going to end right there, and next week I'm going to go in and discuss the characteristics of Satan's names, why they were given, what they mean, and then I'm going to go into actually how we, what Satan does in our lives to try and pull us away from God. And then the next thing I'm going to discuss is the final, in my final session, I will be discussing why we wrestle, 2 Corinthians 10 and 4, why we wrestle not against flesh and blood. And I'll go on to explain that scripture later at that time. Right now, I will open up whatever the phone lines, whoever's on there. Like I said, some may disagree. It's okay to disagree. I don't even see anyone on the phone line, actually. But no, I don't see anyone on. And so it is that I'm going to close with prayer. And I'm going to pray that we all get an understanding. Pray that this word goes forth and that we not take Satan lightly. I mean, I'm not pulling glory from God. It's important, so important to me that we know God. But I think equally or not just as important, but it is important for us to know our adversary and know why we should want to serve God with our whole heart and know why we need to pray. And know that Satan is very real. And he is not to be taken lightly. Father God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I come to you giving you thanks, honor, and praise, O God. Thanking you for this another discussion. Thanking you, O God, for how you have brought us through all week, O God, and brought us to another day, beginning of the week, O God. Father, asking you that you encamp your angels all about us and around us, O God. See us safely, O God. Watch over us night by night, O God, as we sleep, O God. Watch over our families and our loved ones, O God. O Father God, let us also realize, O God, that we've got to get to know who we are dealing with, O God. It is important, O God, that we identify Satan at work in our lives, O God. Identify Satan at work on our jobs. Identify Satan at work in the world, O God. Because truly he is busy, O God, realizing, oh God, that even sometimes when we are depressed, oh God, that Satan is at work in our lives, oh God. He wants to work on our minds, oh God. He desires to sift us like wheat, oh God. He desires to have influence over our lives, oh God, over our minds, over our hearts, what we do and what we say, oh God. But see, oh God, let us realize that Satan can't do anything to us physically, God. Satan is out to destroy our mind, and he wants to destroy our soul, oh God, because he knows if he gets the soul, oh God, you will not have it, oh God. Oh, Father, Lord, in the mighty name of Jesus, oh God, let us remember, oh God, that we are told to take on the mind of Christ, oh God. When we do things, our actions, oh God, that they must reflect Christ, oh God. The more we read and stay in your word, oh God, it is like we put on the full armor of you, oh God. If we put on your full armor, oh God, we can stand the attacks. We can withstand the attacks of Satan, oh God. That's why it's so important for us, oh God, to put on your full armor, oh God. Realizing, oh God, that we do not fight Satan, oh God, with the flesh, oh God. Let us realize that we do not fight him with the flesh, oh God, that we do not fight him in our carnal state, oh God, but that we fight him with your armor, oh God. We don't stand and wrestle with God, because Lord, in your word in Ephesians, oh God, when you talk about your armor, you said after we've done all that, we just stand. We can't stand and wrestle with Satan at the same time, oh God. Father, Lord, you want us to stand and not fight with. We can't fight Satan with the weapons of this world, oh God. We can't fight Satan with a gun. We can't fight Satan with the carnal weapons of the world, oh God. We got to fight him with your armor, with your breastplate, your helmet, oh God, that you give us, oh God, that is designed to do different things, oh God. These are the things that we fight Satan with. And more importantly, God, there is no need for us to fight physically with Satan, oh God, because he has already been defeated. Father, Lord, I ask you to touch all the sick and the afflicted all over the land, all over the country, oh God. Go into the hospital rooms, oh God, where some are hooked up to machines, oh God. Oh, Father, hooked up to the respirator, can't breathe on their own, oh God. Some are battling cancer, diabetes, oh God, heart conditions, oh God. Oh, Father, but you are the greatest physician of all, oh God. And, Father, Lord, I ask that, oh, Father God, that you touch our children all around the world, oh God. Touch them. Keep them safe, oh God. Keep them out of harm's way, oh God. And Father, that you touch us as a whole, oh God. Bring us closer together. Let us be united, one body in Christ, oh God. Bless this broadcast. bless the network, the angel of the network, whom you gave the vision to create this network, oh God, so that people, oh God, may be thoroughly trained in your word, oh God. Oh, Father, Lord, this I ask, and many other blessings in Jesus' name, amen. And at this time, I should have probably done this prior to going into this whole discussion, but we recently lost a man who was very important in the developing and creating of Brown Talking Drums. His name was Brother John Abercrombie, and he transitioned maybe 2 or 3 weeks ago. And so at this moment, I'd like to take a moment and give silence in remembrance of Brother Abercrombie and what he stood for, and how we remember him as being one of the very first bloggers in creating Brown Talking Drums, and being very instrumental in the developing of Global Coalition as a whole. And so, Brother Abercrombie, in your remembrance, I give a moment of silence as I go off the air. I say to everyone, shalom, and may the peace of God be with you all. Amen. Bye-bye. Good night.